Here's a song by that favorite Christian band, Hillsong. You know, I learned a long time ago not to eat on air.
You're doing really well. Really well.
But our previous guest brought me some going away cake.
Yeah, I'm going to try some too.
No.
Can I have some, Mr. B?
You always eat the snacks. Can I have the chocolate icing part there?
Yeah, you're worried I'm going to touch it.
Well, my name's on it. You already had some, right? This?
Yeah, because I knew you wouldn't share it. I got there first.
Are we on Facebook streaming live yet? Uh-oh. I'm eating in front of the camera.
Get all in one. All of it. Yeah.
That is impressive. Oh. Remember Chubby Bunny? Chubby Bunny. Remember that?
You might have to take the next
we're about to find out why he doesn't eat on air. Mm.
All right, listen. We're having some fun because...
There's only three shows left.
Well, we stopped caring. That's what happened.
Combine that with my, you know, school's almost over mindset.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
this should be a dangerous last two shows.
Yep.
So far, let me tell you, Tim, we have 33 guests booked for the last two shows.
Wow. That reminds me. I don't mean to bring it up.
Radar from MASH, Gary Berghoff.
Oh, nice.
Again?
Wow. Captain Steubing.
Nice. So a whole 70s, 80s
Gavin
TV
McLeod.
Thing.
Yep. Candace Cameron Bure.
70s, 80s.
Kathy Lee Gifford.
Still with
70s,
us.
70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. No. Anyway, so lots of people coming up. Hey?
They're going to be, hi, welcome, and thank you.
Yeah. All right, let's move along. We're waffling here. Sarah Bowen, she's the author of Spiritual Rebel, a positively addicted... Addicted. She probably is. A positively addictive guide to finding deeper perspective and a higher purpose. This book can be found in all things Sarah Bowen can be found at thisissarahbowen.com. That's the website. Sarah, what is wrong with you?
I was addicted. Oh, my God, you've got my number.
Well, we just called you, so yes. So let's start with pedigree. Did you not come from a famous father?
Somewhat famous, I suppose. I was not Hillsong famous, of course, but I had a preacher father. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in that lineage.
What was it like living under the shadow of someone like him? And by the way, tell everyone about your daddy.
Yeah, well, it was nothing like being on Footloose. That's what people usually think, though I do have red cowboy boots. It was not that experience. Actually, my dad was a pretty cool guy. You know, he drank gin and tonics, and he loved his community, and he worked real hard for people. So I don't have that kind of horror story sometimes that people have about not being able to dance or drink. I actually went too far the other end and went the sex, drugs, and rock and roll version of the preacher kid.
How bad were you?
Oh, I was horrible. If I wasn't horrible, I'd still be drinking. You know, I think for some of us, when we've got those genetics, I like to say that everyone's born with a certain amount of drink coupons, and when you use them up, like, that's it. You lose the privilege. And I lost mine up at 35.
Wow.
Man, that's going through those coupons pretty quick.
Yeah.
I did. I went through the coupons pretty darn fast.
No, well, I ask you this because, okay, so hold on. Let me just give everyone, see, I know what I'm talking about sometimes, but no one else knows what I'm talking about right now. So let me read your bio thing here. Ready?
Sure.
A G asterisk D optional, I'm assuming that's God. A God-optional approach to spirituality that draws on ancient wisdom and modern pop culture, bringing together insights from a wide range of traditions, from Taoism to Jediism.
You're not my father.
Who was that? You sound like the black guy from Family Guy. What's his name?
I don't know. I don't watch the show.
To yoga, to science, Spiritual Rebel is a personal approach to finding a deeper perspective and a higher life purpose, offering 3 weeks of unconventional practices, including, check this out, Tim.
Okay.
One of these you need to do more regularly. Forest bathing.
Ooh.
Yawning, hiking, cat gazing, mindfulness, and sacred crashing. Sacred crashing. to name just a few. This book helps not only seekers, but also agnostics, atheists, and the spiritual but not religious curate meaningful spiritual moments throughout the day, dipping in without having to commit, never having to fear that they might be doing it wrong. Sarah Bowen is an award-winning author, multi-faith spiritual educator, inspired speaker, and aspiring Jedi. Her first book, Void of Detached, Seeking Modern Spirituality Through My Father's Old Sermons, received numerous literary awards. And she's especially interested in the intersection of spiritual values with animal welfare. Sarah is a fierce advocate for all creatures and currently serves as an animal chaplain. There's the setup. Here's the question. Are you not just a commitment phobe when it comes to religion, when it comes to spiritual things? You know, here's what I'm really asking. And sometimes I ask myself this in the mirror, so I feel I have permission to ask you this question. Are you not just trying to have your cake and eat it too? Are you not just trying to are you not just a spiritual consumer where you're picking and choosing and, you know, they're really, are you not just being a wimp is what I'm trying to say?
That's a great question considering you've got the cake over there.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't today.
But you know what I mean? I mean, that, I can't be the first person to ever ask you that.
I completely what you mean.
Yeah.
I know. People ask that, right? For many, many years, you know, you've heard this idea of the, you know, spiritual smorgasbord, right? And there's that idea of people who are dedicated to, like, getting on their Zazen cushion for a couple hours a day may not have the same approach as somebody who's dipping in like I am. So I think that it doesn't necessarily matter if you think I'm a wimp. It matters if I think I'm a wimp. Right? So the idea of spiritual practice is not about me proving to you how pious I am or how long I can stay on my cushion or how well I can pray. It's about the effect it has on my life. So what I try to do in the book is try to introduce people. We don't always know. Like, I was raised a preacher's kid. You could go to church. You could have prayer. Right? I didn't know about meditation until I was in my 30s and got into a yoga studio. I didn't know about kirtan or forest bathing, which is shirin yoku in Japan. I didn't know any of these things. And so how do we find out what connects us if we don't try it? So that's the premise.
Do you see any wisdom in those in my old tribe who would say to me, Drew, you need to be careful of trying everything?
So I would ask you back, careful of what?
Well, they would. I'm sorry. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Ooh. Well, it's no, like, it's I like... love devil's advocate. Devil's advocate's one of my favorite friends. So carry on.
Okay.
But I'm just curious. Careful of what?
But am I devil's advocate or Satan's offspring? You see, these are the things I wonder about.
Six of one half dozen of the other.
No, that's 666 or one half dozen of the other.
Oh, bumps.
Oh, listen to that. That was nice. No, I'm. You know, there are those that would say, don't interview the high priest of the Church of Satan on your show because you're giving them a platform for believing something that's horrible, whatever. And then there will be others that say, well, don't go to Pagan Fest in Aurelia every year and hang out with friends that you've made there because you will get something. Something will get on you. And right, and if you push them to get to the verbiage, they'll basically say, there are. If we believe in good spiritual energy, then there is bad spiritual energy, and they believe in demonic stuff. And I'll get a demon or something, or I'll be influenced by the dark side.
Oh, you started talking my language. I'm a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
But okay. So for me, spirituality is a personal thing, right? And so my experience is not that when I try these things, that happens to me, that the dark side comes. My experience is that I'm a better person, that I connect to the G word or whatever we want to use for something beyond my ego. I'm better in my community, and I'm nicer to other people. I haven't quite caught any of those things that we have fear of because we have fear of other. And so for me, when it's saying, like, don't go try that, it almost gets to a point where it's like, don't go talk to people with black hair. Don't go talk to this particular group. Don't go talk to people with dogs. Like, where do we stop? But don't try that. I mean, I think that's fear-based. I think that's where it's coming from.
Is fear not a good thing sometimes?
It certainly can be. But I think you have to measure fear with experience. So.
Ooh, that was well said.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Right? is it justified fear, or is it just like we're scared because we've never gone there before and we need to boldly go where we've never gone?
That's a different space show. You're getting there you go. Cross
Teed you another one up.
There.
I had Todd Fisher on the show on the May the 4th show.
Yes.
Carrie's brother.
May the 4th be with you. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And he's
She was my idol. I drive a Jeep with a huge picture of Carrie Fisher on the back of my tire that my husband painted, kind of merging her with me. She was one of the biggest inspirations. I was a 6-year-old kid who saw Star Wars, right? Who didn't understand what was going on, you know, that they were telling me in church, but I understood the Force.
So I have a friend in Australia who became a Christian during an acid trip. And people didn't believe it was a real thing because that can't be possible. You can't find Jesus when you're on acid. These are people that would be trying to steer him in the right direction, and you know.
Okay.
I don't know. What am I trying to say? I have interviewed all sorts of people about all sorts of things with the thought that if there is a God, he's not up. He, because it's definitely a he.
There goes half our listening audience.
He's not up.
Quite sure about that, Drew. Carry on.
He's not up there biting his nails, right?
I don't know.
If there is a God, this God is not nervous that something in the spiritual realm, other than what you grew up in, is intriguing to you. And then there's, but that's because I'm not a big believer in the almighty, omnipotent, omniscient power of one called Lucifer. I don't even know if that's a thing. So those that push fear in the Jesus scene, I have found, are likely those that really believe in how much power the enemy of the almighty creator has. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And, you know, where I come from, I don't like to throw anyone under the bus on their own particular faith. That's their business. If it makes them better people, that's great. You know, I went from having no religions to having all of them. And, well, you know, I'm an addict, right? So, you know, I find what I like and I get more of it. And I think that when we spend our time talking about other people's faith or other people's this and that, I think we can get tied up into this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I did when I was writing Spiritual Rebel was I put a list in the back of it of 200 alternative names for that punishing man in the sky vision that we got from Renaissance painters, right? Mm-hmm. Because most of us don't believe in that, but we seem to think everyone else does. And so, you know, you can call it God, you can call it Tao, you can call it the Force, we can go into all sorts of religions, you know, and we have all these different names, but the name isn't important. It's the experience of transcending just what Sarah wants or just what Drew wants, right?
That's good.
Nice for me.
That's good. It'd be a lot easier to say no to having you on the show if you were just a whack job. But I did.
Oh, I might be.
No, I did a little research, and your parole officer said that you're a pretty nice person. So
excellent.
So the spiritual but not religious phrase, man, I'm so bored with that. I mean, that was such a huge thing,
2000 and late.
That's so whatever. And I'm ignoring Tim. I'm so trying to ignore him, but. But I wonder if I'm just bored of it because... I don't know why I'm bored of it. I don't know.
I have a problem with the word, too. I really do. And I used to own it. I used to own it real well for myself. And then all of a sudden, I was talking to someone one day. I was speaking to a large group of people. And I said I was spiritual but not religious. And someone walked up to me and they said, I'm religious. And when you say that...
You slag them. Yeah, you're throwing them under the bus. Yeah,
there's something wrong with me. And I was like, oh, man, you're right. Right. So I went, and all of a sudden I became spiritual and religious. Right. But what we do is we use this spiritual but not religious as a way of tossing everything we don't like about people onto this word called religion.
Hmm.
Right. And we have to, and it's a way of almost setting ourselves up as better than. right?
Yep.
These religious people are flawed, but I am spiritual and I am enlightened, right? And we can't do that. It's completely against the point of spirituality.
That's so good, so good. I think you've just helped me understand why I actually dislike that phrase. It's because the people that I know that use the I'm spiritual but not religious phrase the most is the yoga crowd, and they're nuts.
I identify with that. I got a little Raj yoga in my path too. But so here's the thing.
I want a man bun.
There's some alternatives.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
No, I want one.
That's a lot of work for me to become a man and then get a bun.
I know.
But I think there's a lot of different words that we can use instead of spiritual, but not religious. Right? There's one that's floating around right now. See how this try this one on. Spiritually fluid.
Sorry.
Tim, you're the liberal in the crowd. You should be loving that.
You to go with that.
No, no, I haven't.
Right. And then there's multi-faith. I like that one. Right? Or how about just spiritual? How about just dropping the back half of it off? Right? So there's a lot of other ways to talk about it.
I've summarized things from, so when I talk about belief, people say, are you a believer? And the word belief has been translated in my brain to hope. And I'm not certain about anything, so I can't say I believe, but boy, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that there are certain things that exist out there that are bigger and better than what I smell every day. Speaking of that, Tim wants to ask a question. Tim?
Oh, he does.
It was more of a statement, this whole thing about people, ooh, you can't look at this, you can't try this. I think the Amish have it right with Rumspringa, how they allow their...
Oh, is that like one of their drinks?
Yes,
what is that?
It's so delicious.
That's like gap year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like you get to go and explore.
Yeah,
right?
The idea of they let their children go away from the tribe and explore everything outside of their tribe purposefully.
All right.
So that they can figure out where they belong. And I think the other thing,
brilliant.
And I think the other thing too, with regards to, I don't think there's a problem with having a belief or a faith or whatever you want to call in something. And you know, I think yoga is a wonderful thing to help meditate, to focus. I think the indigenous people have it right with their connection to nature, and I think a lot of other quote unquote religions can learn from those people, those beliefs, those whatevers from outside of their particular tribe. I think it's really important that we do that.
Are you finished, preacher?
I am.
Preacher man?
Yeah.
I'm just going to move my soapbox.
No, but Tim, that was perfect.
Oh, don't say that.
No, it is. It is. Drew, you're perfect, too. We're all perfect.
Drew hopes he's perfect.
Hold on, but if we're all perfect, then that doesn't make the perfect perfect.
Yes, it's imperfectly perfect.
Hey, but let's go Tao for a second, right? We can be perfect and still have some room for improvement at the same time.
Well, I can get Tao with that.
But I'm bumped.
You know, joy is an important part of a spiritual path. It certainly is. This doesn't need to all be about quiet. But just, you know, spending an afternoon laughing with you guys and talking about these questions that we'll never be able to answer perfectly. It's delightful.
I actually would highly recommend this book. Sarah Bowen, she's the author of Spiritual Rebel, A Positively Addictive Guide to Finding Deeper Perspective and Higher Purpose. The website is This Is Sarah Bowen. Sarah has an H at the end of it, not anywhere else. Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, Sarah Bowen. And Sarah, let me end the interview with this question because we're about to get a preacher on. You ready?
All right. Yeah.
What do you think of Jesus? And don't quote the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, now I want to. Hey, Jesus is part of my life, as are a lot of other awesome people that have taught a lot of other great things that are useful to me. He's one of many, many people who I look to.
See, I still have that old tribal conditioning in my head that goes,
you have to choose him first.
you could choose all the other ones, but he has to be first.
To be first.
Yeah. Larry King's
book,
sorry, go ahead.
In the book, I take people through an exercise called throwing out your sacred trash. And so there's so much that we learned at certain ages that you know, became part of us that we need to look at again, because there's a lot of different ways of looking at things. So I think, you know, maybe you need to dig into that one a little, Drew.
Well, I got some time on my hands coming up, so I'll be doing that.
You do. Well, there's 21 days of exercise in that book, too. So in your off time and in all of the free time you will have, you know, try some forest bathing and some meditating with some animals and some of the other exciting things in spiritual level.
Oh, I forgot to ask you, but we're out of time. Can you concisely tell me what an animal chaplain does?
Three things. Deal with the needs of animals by spending time with them when they're abandoned in shelters. Advocate for better welfare for animals, and help people around grief and loss with their companion pets.
That was pretty good.
I think I want to be.
That's a whole another segment.
I want to be. I want to be that when I grow up.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, email me or look at my website. I got a little information, and you can find out more about it.
Beautiful, Sarah. What a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew and Tim.
No, don't just leave him out. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Drew.
Bye, Sarah. Animal chaplain.
I like that.
It's a bit incense-y, though, eh?
I don't know. You have animals, and you know how sentient and aware and, you know, that they are. And, you know, Tucker knows when you're down and so on and so forth. So I don't think that there's any problem with being there with them. And with the recent loss of my pet, I can totally see someone coming alongside and helping us through that.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. It was devastating. I don't think people not to say that people with pets are better or not, but
yes, they are.
You know, when you lose a pet, it's losing a family member, and I don't know. It's interesting. It was a tough time.
Watch out the mic.
You're gonna drop some.
Look at the dogs.
I know.
How exciting is this radio show? Somebody take a picture. These are the way our listeners react to the Drew Marshall show every week.
We are chaplaining them out,
laying on the floor and sleeping.